several passages, several scriptures that talk about growing, and it seems a little hard to imagine in the midst of this sort of cold, things that could grow. But these are some of the quintessential stories or parables that Jesus told. So let's hear them this morning as we learn from the teacher. Now again, Jesus began to teach beside the sea. Such a very large crowd gathered around him that he got into a boat on the sea and sat there while the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. And he began to teach them many things in parables. And in his teaching, he said to them, "Listen, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell on the path. The birds came and ate it up. Other seed fell on the rocky ground, where it did not have much soil, and it sprang up quickly, since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. Other seed fell into good soil, and brought forth grain, growing up and increasing. 30, 60, 100-fold. And he said, "Let anyone with ears to hear listen." And when he was alone, those who were around him, along with the 12, asked him about the parables. And he said to them, "To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. But for those outside, everything comes in parables, in order that they may indeed look but not perceive, and may indeed listen but not understand, so that they may not turn again and be forgiven." This is a quote out of Isaiah. He said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? Then how will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word. These are the ones on the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. And these are the ones sown on rocky ground. When they hear the word, they immediately receive it with joy, but they have no root and endure only a while. And then when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are those sown among the thorns. These are the ones who hear the word, but the cares of the world, the lure, wealth, and desire for other things come in and choke the word, and it yields nothing. These are the ones sown on the good soil. When they hear the word and accept it and bear fruit, 30, 60, and 100. A little while later, he also said, "The kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow. He does not know how. The earth produces of itself first the stalk and the head, then the full grain in the head. But when the grain is ripe, at once he goes in with his sickle, because the harvest has come." He also said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable will we use for it? It is like a mustard seed, which when sown upon the ground is the smallest of all seeds on the earth, yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all shrubs and puts forth large branches, so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, Lord, you are indeed the great teacher, and so we look to you this morning. Teach, lead, guide, inform, transform. that wasn't the strangest thing. He was an algebra teacher who was an avid subscriber to the Flat Earth Society. Did you know such a thing exists? The Flat Earth Society, okay. I suspect it was a bit of sarcasm and irony for him, but he played with it. He was a strange bird, no doubt. So maybe there's those sort of teachers, but I'm thinking more about those teachers that had this significant positive impact in your life. Me, I think of particularly some of my college professors. I've mentioned one of them before, a man named Dale Bruner. He taught in the New Testament department in the college I went to at Whitworth. And my first class I took in college was from him in the Gospel of John. It was because of his passion for the Word and his thorough knowledge of it, his delight in teaching it, that it grew in me a desire to study and to learn more of God's words. He was one of those teachers who helped transform the Bible for me. You have those sort of teachers in your life who made a difference, I think. I think, though, also some other teachers in my life, people I haven't even known, at least not personally, but there are different writers, thinkers, theologians, authors, who I've enjoyed reading and have learned from. A few weeks ago, I mentioned Dietrich Bonhoeffer, one of those. Some others, C.S. Lewis, for me, enjoyed reading and learning from him over the years. Frederick Buechner, another one. More recently, a man named N.T. Wright. These are all significant teachers in my life. Who has been some of those teachers in your life? You think about them for a moment. How they impacted you, what it was about them. My guess is, for many, those sort of teachers, it's not just about the information they shared, but it's about how they went about it. The person they are, were as they shared. Well, this morning, of course, our title is Jesus the Teacher, and was there ever a better one? The great teacher, the one who has transformed the world with his teachings. We're going to
confused about these ideas, what parables are. Sometimes we sort of equate them to little Aesop's fables, if you will, a little morality tale, teaching you an ethic of some kind, but they were certainly larger than that. They were actually not nearly as clear as some of those fables are. They're sort of mysterious. Even the sower, we heard today, the seed, the four soils, the disciples are puzzled, wondering what this is all about.
kingdom, Jesus taught, is right here, present, yet hidden, imminent, yet transcendent, is at hand among us and beyond us now and not yet. Confused? Yeah, sort of blowing circuit breakers. The kingdom of heaven, Jesus said, belongs to the poor, the meek, the peacemakers, the merciful, those who hunger and thirst for God. And it advances not through power and might, but through missions of mercy and kindness and humility. In this kingdom, many who are last will be first, and many who are first will be last. And the rich don't usually get it, Jesus said, but children always do. It's a kingdom whose Savior arrives not on a war horse, but a donkey, not through triumph and conquest, but through Discovery Time, the thing we love about Children's Time is so often that we have these sort of tangible things and ideas that help us get a handle on stuff. And so, hoo-hoos. Imagine, as we're talking about the kingdom of God, what Jesus is really talking about and what we see in the, throughout the whole of Scripture is that at one point there was the reign of God, the sort of God space. And in the Garden of Eden, as things are created and there's Adam and Eve and there's unity and harmony, human space are united. There are two spaces sharing reality together. But then in our stubbornness and our desire to go our own ways, we choose and stay and step apart from the reality of God and God's space. And so God's space and human space get divided. Now, God is always desiring to bring us back together, and so part of the biblical story, of course, is raising up